Welcome to AM Best Audio.
The incidents in New Orleans and Las Vegas on New Year's Eve, being investigated as possible acts of terrorism, have drawn increased attention to the shifting landscape of global security threats. These events, occurring in high-profile locations during major celebrations, underscore the unpredictable nature of terrorism risks, prompting businesses and insurers to reevaluate their strategies. As the impact of these incidents continues to unfold, they may have significant implications for the terrorism insurance market, driving both policyholders and insurers to adapt in order to address emerging risks and ensure adequate coverage in an increasingly volatile world. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best Audio. And joining us now to discuss that is Tariq Najir, Terrorism Placement Advisory Leader at Marsh. Tariq, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Lori.
Tariq, what potential impact could the recent incidents in New Orleans and Las Vegas have on the insurance industry and the terrorism insurance market?
So first off, we obviously would sympathize with the families for the loss of life, particularly for the incidents that happened in New Orleans. On an insurance perspective, the incidents would be driven by the insurance policies being triggered if they were typically physical loss or damage for the property insurance policies. You do have liability policies which may come into play as well, but for property insurance policies, you need physical damage to trigger those policies. From what we could see in the news and in the press, there were limited physical damage to the buildings either in Las Vegas and or the premises of the storefronts in New Orleans. So you do have that factor to consider. Overall, obviously, you may have had businesses with loss of revenue because they had ingress egress to their stores and restaurants and hotels, potentially in Las Vegas and casinos, being limited for a certain period of time whilst investigations were taking place. So that loss of revenue could theoretically be picked up on the certain elements of the policies. So you do have those factors in place there. Another element of cover which may impact this is an active assailant policy, where there could be extra expenses and crisis counseling and crisis responses, which if one of the businesses in New Orleans, for example, or Las Vegas had those kinds of policies, they may be able to avail themselves for some of those perils which may be covered under those policies.
Could these events meet the criteria to trigger TRIA? And what factors will determine whether its coverage is activated?
So TRIA by itself, right, it's the Terrorism Risk Insurance Act, and there's a certification trigger under TRIA. So first off, there needs to be at least $5 million of industry insured losses before TRIA could be considered to be certified under U.S. law. If the U.S. government chooses to certify TRIA, the Secretary of the Treasury must consult with the Secretary of the Homeland Security, as well as the Attorney General, to go through a certification process in terms of make sure the losses occurred, and then determining if there were other factors within the law itself to then move to the certification process. So there was physical loss to human life. One of the other factors under TRIA, though, is physical loss or damage to property. That was obviously limited in these scenarios. So that may be one of the some of the thought processes which may go into certifying or not certifying these terrible incidences as acts of terrorism under TRIA itself.
Can you tell us about the current state of the terrorism insurance market, including factors such as capacity, take-up rates, overall interest, and the typical inclusions and exclusions found in these policies?
So there are two branches of the terrorism insurance marketplace. One is what's available within the, I'll call it, the embedded marketplace, which is insurance you buy within your property insurance policies, and those insurances could include the act of terrorism from TRIA. TRIA certified events. And then you've got the standalone terrorism marketplace, which is a competitor to the terrorism within the all risk policies. So I'll speak of the all risk, I'll speak of the standalone terrorism market space first here. So that marketplace is quite vibrant. We've got approximately $4.5 billion of theoretical capacity available to be deployed on any one risk. Factors which drive the deployment of the capacity is the industry, the loss history of that industry, and the location. So businesses and entities within certain tier one districts of the United States, so and around the world as well. But speaking of the US here, you know, take a major city like New York City, Chicago, San Francisco, Washington, D.C. You take the central business districts within those cities and you have limited capacity, which may be available because you have such high network value of buildings or such a high concentration of insurance policies, which may be already in place within those certain zip codes. So you've got certain limiting factors which may compress the overall availability of capacity. But as I said initially, there's about $4.5 billion of theoretical capacity which is available to clients to avail themselves to. So I'll speak of take-up rates now. So approximately these take-up rates I'm going to speak to are basically TRIA take-up rates. So the measure of clients who buy terrorism within their property insurance policies that benefit from the TRIA backstop. I would say approximately 60% of clients do buy some form of terrorism insurance through their policies. And that varies by industry. So you may have certain industries which have high footprints in big business districts, like retail, hospitality, gaming, for Las Vegas, for example. There may be a higher proportion of those types of clients who would buy terrorism insurance versus clients in, you know, other industries, which may be, for example, mining and manufacturing in rural areas, for example, and they may be less of buyers of the insurance because they may see themselves as not potentially as targets of these kinds of incidences. So those are some of the factors which may or may not drive a client to buy the insurance. Obviously, you've got also the overarching driver of this for many real estate clients also, and many clients overall, is lender requirements. So if a bank were to say, Mr. or Mrs. Client, you want a loan, you'd have to buy terrorism insurance, then obviously that drives a factor in terms of the client buying the insurance. Typical inclusions within the policy are all the extra expenses which you may find from ingress, egress to accounts receivables to customers and suppliers, you know, named customers and suppliers. Exclusions could be nuclear, so NBCR, nuclear, chemical, biological, and radiological. That is typically a standard exclusion on their property policies as well as terrorism insurance policies, standalone terrorism insurance policies. Also war perils. So war, civil war, rebellion, insurrection, coups, standard exclusions on the policies. Those two elements, NBCR and war, we can quote unquote write back or buy a separate policy for a client if they're interested in those perils. And I'd say this, what drives clients buying the NBCR or buying a war policy, it depends on what if they're in certain parts of the world or in certain kinds of industries. So if you're a global client with a footprint in certain parts of Asia, Africa, Middle East, they may be interested in buying a political violence policy based upon the lay of the land and what's happening on the ground, or potentially that could happen on the ground in some of those territories.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
What impact might these recent incidents have on the availability and affordability of terrorism insurance for businesses located in areas deemed high risk for terrorist activity? And how might these events reshape the way insurers assess and price terrorism risks for businesses in those locations?
So the tier one cities, these central business districts, you know, have always been a concern for the tourism underwriters. How they do so, how is this, these are going to change? I think it'll make them more vigilant. They'll ask more questions about the risks being insured. You know, like I said, these are already cities and zip codes of concern for the underwriters. And, you know, anything with these sort of softer targets, so any sort of, you think New Orleans where, you know, the storefronts were open, anyone could walk in and out to the bars and the restaurants and so forth. Vegas, the casinos are there. No one to really stop your foot traffic from getting close to these venues. You know, exposures like these will obviously tend to draw more scrutiny from the underwriters, and they will ask questions as to what sort of security measures you may have in place, what steps you may have learned from incidents may have that have occurred in the past, and what you learned from those incidents, and what you've implemented going forward. So, you know, areas that are deemed high risk, insurers will continue to offer them because obviously this is they're providing an insurance policy. They have clients who want to buy this insurance policy, and our insurers want to provide these insurances to them. They just have to learn more about what the client has done and what steps they will be putting in place. And that'll help drive the availability of the insurance. And, you know, depending on what the client has done or has not done, that may be limiting factors in terms of what is available to them.
How can insurers improve their risk models to better account for the unpredictable and evolving nature of terrorism risk, especially in major urban centers and during large scale events?
So that is a challenge because of the human element factor in these things, right? So you can't predict human behavior completely yet, right? AI may have something in store for us, but as of right now, it is what it is in terms of how these things happen. So how best the insurers can work with this is, you know, using deterministic models. Clients can do this as well. So not predicting the frequency or the rate these things will occur and when they will occur, but, you know, what if something were to occur? What's the potentiality of the damage to our building or for the insurers, their book of business? So using deterministic models to see these impacts can help drive either a client to determine if they should buy more limits or less limits and what limits they should buy and where they should buy those limits and the focus of their resources. So I think the deterministic models, there are also probabilistic models which insurers can use. But again, that gets into the probability of things occurring, which are less certain in these kinds of instances where you have the human element being a major factor in terms of sort of what drives the bad actors to do what they do.
How is Marsh working with its clients to ensure that their coverage remains adequate in the face of an unpredictable global threat landscape?
So we obviously advise our clients wherever they are. We look at their statement of values to make sure they've got the right coverages in place. So I spoke about war risks and political violence. So clients in certain footprints of the world require a different sort of element of cover than other clients. And to add to that, war, civil war, rebellion, insurrection, and coups, insurance through the PV cover. You have clients now who are availing themselves to active assailant insurance or deadly weapons protection insurance, which is a relatively new product, about 5 years old or so approximately, which provides clients the availability of extra expenses and crisis consulting for incidences which may occur from guns and knives and cars being used as weapons, not just in a terrorism, quote unquote, terrorism event, but any malicious act kind of an event. So making sure clients within certain industry footprints have explored and gone through the thought process of how these insurance policies can dovetail with what they have and add value to what they have is what we advise our clients on a daily basis.
And Tariq, looking ahead, how likely is it that the terrorism insurance market will experience increased demand for coverage following these recent high-profile incidents? And what challenges might insurers face in responding to this demand?
So if the demand, I think, is coming from insurer, from clients with the sort of retail and software footprints who may be asking themselves, you know, what sort of coverages we have on their existing property policy or existing GL policy, and where are these gaps that may exist if some of these instances that could have occurred had occurred, and you know, we lost revenue. Which policy responded? Which policies did not respond? And is there a product out there to fit that bill? And that increased questions would lead to hopefully increased demand from the insurer's perspective for you know, products like the active sealant policies, which I say sort of fits a gap between a property policy, a terrorism policy, and a GL policy in terms of the elements of coverage that, that it adds. The challenges that, that the insurers may face is the availability of limits. So certain industries may not be too keen. The insurers may not be too keen to write those industries or locations just because of the added exposure that, that they may bring to their books of business. So limitations are, you know, lack of interest from the underwriters. But the good thing for our clients are is that there is a wide availability of insurers and an increasing number of insurers who are entering the space with capacity. So we do have people to go to who have not written these kinds of risks before and who should be able to offer some option to our clients.
Tariq, this has been so interesting, so informative. I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, Lorian. Thanks for having me.
That was Tariq Najir, Terrorism Placement Advisory Leader at Marsh. And for AM Best Audio, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.